Luke chapter 17. I'll try to finish up a message I started this morning and try to complete that. And I pray that God will use it, speak to our hearts, and help us and be encouraged and strengthened, and that we'll be aware of these possibilities and things that happen to people along the way. And we need to do that, be reminded sometimes. I just happen to glance down there at verse 32. It says, remember Lot's wife. We just need to remember some things that God's put in his word to help us, keep us from being in the same situation, and maybe to avoid some pitfalls, and to help us along the way. And we're all subject to falling those pits if we're not careful, those traps the devil sets along the way. But I'm glad that we can look to Jesus and find strength and help. In Luke 17, verse number 11, let's stand, please. I'm going to read the same verses and pray that God seal them to our hearts tonight. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And many Bible scholars believe that this is talking about the area right between the two, as the two met together, because they were Samaritans and Jews both in this village he went into. As he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which were stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Were. But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you tonight for all the singing of the songs, and what a blessing it is to remember what you did for us at Calvary. Thank you tonight, God, for sweet spirit. And I pray tonight that you just move upon us and help us. Father, this waiting congregation, every individual here, you know exactly what we all need. And I pray you take the word of God, speak to our hearts. And I pray, God, convict where it's needed, encourage where it's needed, challenge where it's needed. And I pray, Father, that you meet every need and help us tonight to obey you. And Father, the leadership of the Holy Spirit in the preaching of the word of God. Tonight, Lord, we pray and plead the blood of Jesus. I confess unto you that without you we can do nothing. And Father, we need that divine touch of God. I pray you'd help us, oh God, tonight to preach like you'd have us to do. And you said your word would not return void. It would accomplish that wherein that you send it. I pray, God, you take the word of God, speak to hearts, magnify yourself, get glory and help people. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Dealing with that subject, where are the 9? Now this morning, I'm going to try not to re-preach everything I did this morning, but we talked about the fact that the disciples asked about faith and then how that he went into that. And come to verse number 11, and then this took place here with the 10 lepers. And we talked about leprosy being a type of sin. We talked about how in that day when they were cleansed, they had to go to the priest and be ceremoniously declared clean and all of that. But we noticed in verse 19 that Samaritan that came back, Jesus did not tell him to go show himself to the priest. He simply said, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. I really believe that man got saved. I really believe that man realized who Jesus was, and he wasn't looking just for physical healing. He wanted to worship God, and he wanted help from the Lord, and he got it. And I praise God for it. Now, I realize that could be a lot of debate and all of that. I'm simply saying there's something about that verse that struck my heart in studying this passage, this particular message that God laid on my heart that I cannot get over, the fact of what Jesus said to him, go thy way. Religion can't save you, and priests can't do anything for you. Preacher can't help you. as far as saving you is concerned. He can point you in the right direction. He can point you to the Word of God. It's Jesus Christ that we must meet individually, personally, and when we meet Him, salvation can be ours, and we can know that we're saved. I'm glad for a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that fellowship that we have with Him. Thank God for it. Now, I said I didn't want to re-preach what I preached this morning, so I better hurry on and get to what I'm trying to say. And we're talking about where are the nine. We talked about some are disinterested and dealt with that, and people got under other. Spit that now, amen. And see if I can find it. It's right around my eye tooth. Couldn't see what I was saying, so I got to get it out. And some are uninterested. And I got that and said, amen. But some just not interested about. They want the healing. They want they want God to help them when they're in trouble, but they don't have any use or any interest in God at any other time. I say that we need to be interested all the time. He is our life. He's our very existence is to praise Him and have fellowship with Him. And then we talked this morning about the fact that some are disappointed how that the elder brother, he was wouldn't even come in and rejoice because somebody came home, his brother came home. He wasn't interested in that. He's only concerned about himself and his own inheritance. And so he was piddling around, if you please, outside. He was at home, but piddling. He wasn't doing what he's supposed to be doing at home. Some people are around the church, but they're not doing anything. And they're not really involved in what the Father's heart is. And the Father's heart was that son that was gone astray. He wanted him to come home. He's expecting him to come back. He looked for him to come back. It was no surprise to him when he came back. And I say that's the way we ought to be, praying for sinners to come and looking for them to come. And when they do come, say hallelujah, they're here, amen. I remember one lady, she kept wanting us to pray for her husband, and pray for. Finally he came, and then he got saved. And she came around shaking hands and said, I never thought I'd see this. I wanted to say, what do you think we've been praying for? And you know, I kind of wanted to shake her a little bit and say, wake up. We've been praying for this man to get saved. God now is answering prayer. If we ought to believe what we're praying for, asking God for it, amen. Praise God, Sister McIntosh. I'm glad she's back there waving at me. Gets me excited. Amen. I'm glad, praise God, she does. I appreciate that. And hey, it excites me when people get into what you're saying. And I'm trying to tell you, we need to believe God when we pray. Amen. And so the elder brother, we talked about him. And he just displeased about what's going on. I talked about a dangerous place, but I was thinking about that a little bit this afternoon. I thought, really, that we ought to call that the divided place. I'm not a whole lot of putting this thing together all the time like I should, but it is dangerous, but it's a divided. It's where your heart's divided. It's straddling the fence. It's not really getting in all the way. It's not all the way out. It's just trying to straddle the fence. Let me tell you, that's a bad place to be, straddling the fence. Amen. You'll have to get knocked off the fence and fall the wrong way. It's like you tackle set in the window, fell out, not in. And they usually fall out, not in. And so don't that divided place, that on the edge, just living on the edge, just barely inside the gate. That's not where we want to live. We want to go on further with the Lord Jesus Christ, grow in grace, grow in knowledge, and let God help you be strengthened along the way. Amen. And I'm still reviewing, so I'll try to leave that right there. Then we talked about the discouraged. And Elijah was discouraged. He'd been on the mountaintop, had the real victory, and then right after that, he got in the dumps and got discouraged. Jezebel got after him. And that's enough to run anybody. Jezebel get after you. But he'd faced 450 prophets of Baal. He'd really been doing good, but then Jezebel got after him, and he ran and hid, and discouraged he was. But I've noticed something. Have you ever noticed right after Jubilee, right after a good, even just a good service, right after that, right after a good revival, have you ever noticed it's easy to fall into discouragement? It's easy to get despondent. It's easy to get discouraged or get depressed in that time. Somehow we've been on the high, and then all of a sudden things are not quite as high as they were, and we're not trying to experience right exactly what we've been experiencing. It's easy to get in that valley of discouragement. So I tell you that. I tell you what David did in 1 Samuel chapter 30. David had been
out there with his men gone, and Ziklag was attacked, and you remember the story, and the women and children carried away, city was burned, and David came back and found that in that mess, and the men was about to stone David, and they were really upset about the whole situation. But the Bible said in verse number 6 that David encouraged himself in the Lord. And we ought to always remember that. We need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Everybody else around you may fail you, but Jesus won't fail you. Everybody else around you may forsake you, but Jesus will not forsake you. And everything around you may fall apart, but Jesus will never fall apart. I just want to encourage you to be encouraged in these days. Be encouraged. Look up. Jesus is still on the throne. Now tonight, let me give you some other things. We're trying to get 9 things in here. I believe that made 4. And the 5th one is some are moving in the wrong direction. And I want you to look with me, please. In Genesis chapter number 13. Genesis chapter number 13. And here we find Lot looking in the wrong direction. You remember the story that had contention with Lot's men and Abraham's men because they had so much God had blessed them with that the grazing land was limited, and so they were having contention. And so Abraham told Lot to pick out which way he wanted to go. And Lot lifted up his eyes, verse number 10 of Genesis chapter 13. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plains of Jordan, that they were well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as it were like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. And then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. Now he's journeying in that direction. He's first looking down in the valley, and what he's looking at is all the watered land. He's looking at all the good stuff. He's seeing that plain down there. He's not saying, Lord, now which way do you want me to go? He's not saying, Lord, what's your direction for my life? He's not saying, Lord, what's best for my family. He should have been, because his family got in a mess down there. But he simply was looking at the physical part of it, and he made his decision on that and did not ask God about it. We ought to always ask out what is God's will in that decision we're about to make. What is best? What does God want? What's God's direction for my life? And so he began to move in the wrong direction. Peter began to move in the wrong direction when he followed Jesus afar off. And so that's why some gets messed up. They're going in the wrong direction. I want to show you something else about this, and then we'll move to the 6th thing here real quickly. He got the dwelling in the wrong place. He not only looked to the wrong place, he got the dwelling in it. And if you will, please look in verse number 12 of the same chapter of book of Genesis. Verse 12, chapter 13. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan. That's the land God led him to, where God put him. That's where he's dwelling. And Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Now notice, if you will, please, in chapter 14 of the book of Genesis, verse number 12. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom. He began to pitch his tent toward Sodom. He began to dwell in the cities of the plain. He began moving in that direction. Then the next thing he's doing, he's living down there in Sodom. Now the Bible says this righteous man's soul was vexed from day to day. Now he was a saved man, but in the wrong place. He was down there where he didn't belong and got down there out of the will of God. And down there in that situation, he got in a mess. I want to tell you tonight that we get in a mess when we get in the wrong place out of the will of God. And God began to have to deal with Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know the story. He's going to destroy it. And Lot, now he's vexed every day. He knows it's wrong. He realized that. But he's got down there where the money is. His wife's down there in society. That's because she looked back, you remember, she didn't want to leave that place. She loved that society life. And she was messed up. And so down there, the children had, girls had married those men, and so they were in a mess, and Lot went to them and tried to witness to them, and he seemed like one that mocked. In other words, they looked at Lot and said, what in the world are you doing in this crowd trying to tell us that we ought to get out of this crowd? That's good preaching. You can't live in the same crowd and then try to tell them to get out of that crowd. If you're going to live in the beer joint and try to tell others y'all to get out of the beer joint, you got a problem. Amen. And that goes with any other sin. That's just one to come to mind real quick. But any other sin, anything we're trying, if we're going to try to help people, we're going to have to be separated from where they are, or they're not going to pay any attention about what we're saying. We'll just seem like one that mocks to them. They'll laugh at us. But he didn't do any good about witnessing to them sons-in-laws. They paid no attention. His daughters that were married, they perished down in Sodom and went to hell. The whole family did except for two daughters. And he got them out, but they were immoral. When he got them out, and then they messed up. And Moab came from the results of all that. What a mess that made. You know what started it all? He looked in the wrong direction. He started longing for something he ought not to have. He didn't ask God what to do, and he got messed up. Where are the nine? A lot of them's going in the wrong direction. A lot of them looking the wrong way. And a lot of them's got down in the wrong way. And they settled into that place, and there they are. And so they're dwelling in the wrong place. And some's in desperation. You remember about Jonah. He got down there and running from God, trying to get away from God. And he got in a mess. In fact, he got desperate. He got in the belly of a fish. And in that belly of that fish, a whale, the New Testament call it. And you say, well, a man can't live 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale. You can't if God prepares the belly of the whale. Amen. God said he did, and I believe he did. And got down there, and he cried out. I don't know what he cried before he cried out the last five words he cried. He might have said, I need to get out of here, Lord, I'm sorry, and all that kind of stuff. And might have tried to crawl out, may have tried to get up to the mouth of that whale, hoping he'd spit again and let him get out. I don't know what he's doing. But the Bible said the last five words he cried, salvation is of the Lord. He just said the word saying, I give up. If God don't get me out, I'm gone. And that's exactly where we need to get sometime and realize if God doesn't, that's where I got when I got saved. Salvation is of the Lord. I was trying to get saved, but I just need to give up and let God save me. Hallelujah. Amen. I remember one of his dad, and I've told it many times, her dad would tell me about being saved. Tell me when he got saved, how it was. And it stuck in my heart. He said that he's at the altar, and one man on one side was saying, hold on. Another man on the other side was saying, turn loose. And he said, I got mixed up on whether to turn loose or hold on. That I finally just cried out and said, Lord, if I go to hell, I'm going to go believing I'm saved. And said, as soon as he did that, he knew he saved. Amen. He knew he was right with God. You know why? He gave it all up and said, I'm just going to trust Jesus. I'm just going to trust Jesus and forget the rest of it. And thank God that works. When you trust Jesus, I'm sure the other men were trying to do well and trying to tell him to turn loose of anything in the world and trying to tell him to hold on to God. And they're trying to help him, but when he just gave it all up and said, salvation is of the Lord. And that's when God saved his marvelous grace. Are you saved tonight? Amen. Are you one of those nine? Are you that one that is in the testing of God? And that's where he was. Israel got down there in Egypt, and they got desperate down there. And they were in bondage and severe bondage, and bondage got worse after Moses got down there. And when you begin to witness somebody, you begin to try to help somebody, don't be surprised when they get worse than they were when they started witnessing to them. That's what happened to the children of Israel. They were down there, and when Moses got down there and started talking to Pharaoh about letting them go, Pharaoh made it harder on that bunch than he had before. You know why? Because he's afraid he's going to lose them. And when you begin to get a burden about somebody and really get concerned about them, they may begin to seem like they're getting worse or more disinterested, because the devil doing everything he can to hold on to them. He don't want to lose them. He's got them, and he don't want you messing with them. I say, let's keep on messing, amen. Let's keep on meddling in their affairs. Somebody said to some preacher one day, and he's trying to witness to him, said, it's none of your business. He said, yes, it is. That is my business. God made it my business to try to win people to God and try to get people saved. It's your business if you're saved. Try to get others saved and to know Jesus Christ. Some's got their doctrine all messed up, and they don't know what to believe. Look with me in Galatians chapter number 1. Galatians 1. You say doctrine is not important. Doctrine is important. Doctrine means what you believe. And what you believe is important. Because if you don't believe the truth, the right, then you're going to get messed up. And that's where some of the nine are, why they're not at the feet of Jesus worshiping and thanking him and praising him, is because their doctrine's messed up. Verse number 6 of chapter 1 of Galatians. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Paul said, if somebody comes preaching any other gospel than what we preach, grace, salvation by grace through faith. Amen. What Paul said over in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, that delivered unto you that which God had given him, the Christ died for sins according to the scriptures, buried, and was risen again according to the scriptures. That was the gospel that he preached. He said, if anybody comes in preaching anything else to you, that let them be accursed. He was using strong language. He said, don't pay attention to them. And somebody comes to you and tells you that Joseph Smith got a revelation from God, got him some good glasses, some kind of glasses he's supposed to have found, and could read whatever it was God's supposed to have given him, you don't believe a word of it. That's a perverted gospel. Amen. That's perverted. Well, some of them do good things. They do. They do that. Devil's right once in a while. I know he's a liar. I know that. But he's a hard worker. Give him credit for that. Amen. If you can't give him credit for anything else, he's a hard worker. He works all the time. He's always on the job. He never gives up. Keeps on trying. I say that much for him. But I want you to know, a clock that doesn't tick, a clock doesn't even run is right twice a day. Amen. And so a perverted gospel is a gospel that's got some gospel in it, but it's not the true gospel. Has some truth. That's how all the cults get started. That's how all the false doctrine gets started. They take a little bit of the truth, and then they pervert it, and they use it, and they use the truth to suck people in, that little bit of truth they got. They get people sucked into it, and then they begin to pervert that gospel and tell them other stuff. Now look at verse number 9 in Galatians 1. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than with that ye have received, let him be accursed. He said it twice, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? If I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. He's saying the gospel is the gospel, and don't let anybody bother you with other stuff. There are those that come in Jude 3, he talks about it, going right to him about the common salvation, but he had to get in on something. I had to start preaching to him some truths to get him straightened out because he had the wrong doctrine. They messed up in some area. I say to you today, we got all kinds of doctrine out here in our world. And there's everything being preached and everything being taught. And they'll tell you it doesn't make any difference which Bible you use. It doesn't make any difference where you go to church. I've heard people make it say, well, they're in church. It's okay. It's not okay just so they're in church. They may be in some perverted something that's not hearing the truth. They may be in some and not getting anything right. And I realize there's some, as Brother Lewis mentioned this morning in Sunday school, there's some that get saved in there. They get enough gospel to get saved. But the Holy Ghost will lead you out of if it's got the wrong doctrine in it, if you really get saved and born in the family of God. And some of them they ignorantly are in that and don't realize that. But there's others deliberately, knowingly leaving the Word of God, and they still call themselves a church. Right. Right. Amen. And they sang that song over there about send you money. I believe they sang it this morning about send you money and all that kind of stuff. You'll have health and wealth. That's a bunch of baloney. You may get a bunch of baloney. Amen. Because that crowd, that's not biblical truth. That's not right. And you ought to give to church. You ought to do what's right. But I wonder how many ever called Benny Hinn up and he'd come to help him. Good preaching. I called his name, didn't I? Paul looked at that crowd. He called some names one time. Amen. Said, don't let them mess you up. And he said, it doesn't mean much damage. Don't let them do you damage. That's what he said. I'm telling you, there's a crowd out here that's got the wrong doctrine. And they'll mess you up. God said, don't even bid them this Godspeed. Amen. They got the wrong thing. I'm glad we have, now, in having the truth, let's not get arrogant about it. but we do have the truth. But I want us to know that we have the truth and stick with the truth. That's why I preach like I do. I want people to stick with the truth of the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there's some that's dead. That's the ninth one I'm going to give you. That's number nine. Some are dead. 1 John 5:16 says there is a sin unto death. There is a sin unto death. You remember 1 Corinthians 5:5? And Paul was dealing with the church and dealing with that man that has messed up morally with his stepmother. And so I believe that's the situation he was in. Anyway, immoral situation he was in. And he's dealing with that. And he said, turn such a one over to Satan's destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. He said, in other words, hey, people get so far out that I'm going to let them die, but they'll save, they'll go to heaven. If they ever really get saved, you can't get lost. I didn't even get a groan. If you ever really get saved, you cannot get lost. That better, amen. Amen. How in the world can you lose something that when Christ saved you, he put you in him and sealed you with the Holy Ghost? Amen. Somebody said, I get myself out. Have you got more power than the Holy Ghost has got? Can you overdo God? Can you tell God you're not going to listen to what he said and what he did and what he's done for you? You're going to get out anyway. And by the way, whoever got saved and wanted to get lost, whoever got joy inside and thrilled by knowing Christ and delivered from sin, the burden of it, and the transgression. And whoever got like that and said, I believe I'll get out because I want to get lost again. I want to get out and sin. I'm not glad I'm going to heaven. I'm not happy about this thing of being saved. Hey, nobody ever really got saved and wanted to get lost again. If they ever really get saved, they're a new creature in Christ Jesus and love God, have a desire for God. Now, they may fail. They may mess up. They may get out of the will of God, but you're not your own. You're bought with a price. And God will not let you go but so far. And then he'll deal with you and help you. I'm glad, praise God, he'll get you back or else take you out. And so some die and some are dead. So that's where some of the nine are. They just die. Man, Ananias and Sapphira, over there in the book of Acts chapter 5, I believe it is. And the problem wasn't that they had land and sold it and gave part of it to the church. That wasn't the sin of it. The problem was they lied about it. They said we've given it all. And they lied. They wanted to have look good. They tried to be something they wasn't. And God let them die. Made an example out of them. Let them die like that. It's dangerous to play around with things of God. And God dealt with them. You remember Absalom out there? He rebelled against his own dad. Bad enough anybody rebelled, but he rebelled against his own dad. And Absalom controlled the heart of the people, stood outside the gate of the king's place, and the people come to see the king, and he pulled them aside. He'd make up to them and flatter them, and he stole their hearts away. And Absalom round up that rebellious young man, had his long hair, had all that stuff. He got it hung up in an oak tree, riding on a mule, and a mule ran out from under him. And then they killed him, put a dart through his heart. That's how he died. Hey, it's dangerous to rebel like that. It's dangerous to get out like that. I'm telling you tonight, it's dangerous to make light of the things of God. God will get your attention. Some have died and gone on to glory. Seen a few cases like that. But I say to you tonight, Jesus loves you and wants to help you. He's not interested in beating us and killing us and all that. He wants to help us. But God, we belong to God. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege we have to stand and proclaim truths from the Word of God. God, you told us in thy word these things that we have mentioned, we've tried to illustrate by the word, because the word of God's truth. Ananias and Sapphira died. Lord, Absalom died. You said there's a sin unto death. Some folk go so far that you take them home. But Lord, there's others that are discouraged. There's others that looking in the wrong direction. They some even dwelling in the wrong places. Some tonight that are displeased. Some are not interested. Some may be in those cases that we've mentioned here tonight and this morning.
But Lord, help all of us see ourselves like you see us. And help us in that. We'll be as this one Samaritan was when he came to Jesus and bowed and glorified God and thanked you for what you did for him. Lord, thank you for loving us and saving us. And thank you we can have the victory in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. It's in his name we pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want you to stand to your feet, please.